It's the Full Force Movie News Burst, brought to you by GeneralsJoesReborn.com with me, Christopher McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80, joining me to discuss the recent news that Paramount Pictures could be looking to reboot the G.I. Joe movie franchise yet again, and with Michael Keaton no less, is the General himself, Justin Generals Joes Bell. So, it looks like Paramount Pictures are looking to delve into the G.I. Joe franchise again, so let's look at that first. If this is true, Justin, how do you think they should approach it this time?
That's a loaded question. I mean, it's, you know, it's tough to say. I mean, they've tried a few different approaches. It's almost like maybe it doesn't matter how they approach it. I think execution is probably what really matters, because right. I would say how they approached Rise of Cobra might be how I suggest they approach a G.I. Joe franchise, but obviously the execution really wasn't there. you know, G.I. Joe Retaliation, I would say, executed it a little bit better than Rise of Cobra, but I wasn't really a fan of the concept. So I think they've, and, you know, Snake Eyes, you know, didn't really work for obvious reasons either. So
many.
I think what they need to do, you know, if it was up to me, I would approach it the same way they did Rise of Cobra, where G.I. Joe was kind of a known international response force that, you know, is sort of global and top secret, yet very well funded. They have state-of-the-art technology. I mean, all that, all those elements were there in Rise of Cobra. It was thematically the way I would approach a G.I. Joe film. They just didn't really execute it the right way. They leaned too heavily on the accelerator suits. You know, the actors weren't necessarily what you wanted to look for. You know, the design aesthetic was off.
Accelerator suits. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, there was all sorts of things wrong with Rise of Cobra, but I think from a conceptual perspective, that's how I would like them to approach, you know, a G.I. Joe film.
Right.
I'm not sure they'll do that, but I think if they could somehow find a way to build the same sort of, you know, universe that they did in Rise of Cobra, but dial down the sci-fi a little bit. I mean, not too much. I mean, we need sci-fi, futuristic, fantasy elements in G.I. Joe. Dial it down just a little bit and kind of incorporate more of the G.I. Joe aesthetic. I think something like that could work very well, you know, with what they're trying to do. I feel like they're trying to go small. I mean, from what we, you know, obviously Retaliation was all about sort of blowing the whole thing up and starting over with a very small core group.
Yeah.
And, you know, from what we've heard from Ever-Vigilant, I don't feel like we really know. We don't have a good idea what they were thinking when you just look at what we know for Ever-Vigilant.
What were they thinking is the way to
exactly.
say that.
Exactly.
I know what you're saying. I get what you're coming at in terms of, like, the approach. I think Retaliation, where Retaliation falls down is it's supposed to be this, like, almost like Renegades setup, isn't it? Like, they're the last, and they're kind of being hunted by, you know, effectively the government, and
right.
which isn't government, it's Cobra. Now, it's a great idea, but it just doesn't go into that particular universe mm-hmm. very well. Like, they're renegades. They're kind of like being hunted for such a short period of time in that film, and then it's all done and dusted, and everything's fine again. So it's like, it didn't even have the same kind of, like, drawn out effect that Renegades did.
Renegades took that concept, did it a lot better than the movie did, for sure. You really felt like they were sort of this overwhelmed kind of, you know, this small group of extraordinary individuals who really had to overcome great odds to sort of get back to where they were, which, you know, you didn't get that impression in Retaliation. I think where I struggle with sort of the Retaliation mindset was, and I guess there's a way to walk both lines where, you know, G.I. Joe can be a small group, because I mean, what makes G.I. Joe G.I. Joe to me is the kind of fantastical elements of it, the state-of-the-art technology. But you can't do that if they're a small group on the run, you know, without a headquarters or anything. You don't have that necessarily.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's a little bit, it's a tough to do it, you know, from that perspective. But I almost
feel like you have to build the first universe first, and then. Mm-hmm. Put them in that scenario. Like, you have to,
you could.
It has to kind of be, I feel like you have to spend some time in G.I. Joe as a team, as a, well, like you said, okay, like a known government thing. And yeah, then you go into the thing where it's like, well, Cobra's infiltrated. And they kind of tried to do that with Rise of Cobra going into Retaliation, but you'd already, I mean, yeah, it was a soft reboot for a start. Even though it was carrying things over from Rise of Cobra, there was still this other stuff that didn't mesh correctly.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, yeah, well, it was a soft reboot. I mean, they carried over, obviously Channing Tatum carried over, but then they killed him. And, you know, they kind of, you know, Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes carried over. You know, Cobra Commander kind of carried over. They, you know, they wrote a scene where it's like Cobra Commander is captured and then becomes Cobra Commander, yeah, but Destro was written off. You know, it was essentially, yeah, and Zartan obviously has those sort of interwoven, that continuity was there. But you're right. I mean, they took everything that Rise of Cobra built, you know, for whatever it was, and just kind of wiped it off the map and basically started over.
Yeah.
You know, killing most of the team and just, you know, starting over with a fresh cast of characters.
Are you thinking, like, wipe it clean, start again from fresh, and get, you know, and do this all from, you know, with none of the stuff that's come before it even factoring in?
You have to. Yeah, I don't know how you don't. I mean, Snake Eyes, that would be the only thing you could possibly build upon is the Snake Eyes movie, because already that Snake Eyes movie sort of eliminated the continuities of the previous two movies. I mean, it was written in a way where it maybe didn't necessarily, but, you know, me being honest, the way they portrayed Snake Eyes in the Snake Eyes movie isn't a character that I can root for. You know, he was kind of a bad guy in that movie.
Yeah.
He did bad things. You know, he inadvertently sort of caused the death of the Rishikage clan. You know, he wasn't a hero necessarily.
Yeah.
So I don't have a desire to see that character carried forward to the movie, because he was nobody that I'd really want to support, and, you know, and which is a shame, because I think Henry Golden did a great job in the character's role, and I think there was bits and pieces that were all right. But I just think they really need to wipe it clean. I think they need to not overcomplicate it, get back to its roots, get back to some sort of simplicity, dialed, and I don't know if they ever will dial down the ninja stuff, just because Snake Eyes is such a pervasive character in the mythology. I don't know if you really can, but I really think, yeah, they just need to kind of get back to ground zero. And but the one thing that I really don't want to see, and this is kind of where Michael Keaton comes into play. I've seen a lot of people say, well, maybe he's Joel Colton. I'm kind of done with the Joel Colton tie-in. Let's just let that rest. I don't need to see Joel Colton. I don't need to pretend that the adventure team is creating G.I. Joe. I just, you know, just give us real American Hero for its own sake.
Do you know what I think sometimes? I think with the whole Colton, G.I. Joe Colton thing is always utilized as some sort of, well, the fans will really love this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's like the most, like, basic nod ever, really, when you think about it. It's like, you know, the original, absolutely, totally understand it, totally understand the historical aspect of it,
right?
But it's kind of like, you know, I feel like it's been done. Bruce Willis makes, you know, and the fact that he won't be able to reprise that role anymore, you know, unfortunately,
right.
But like that, you know, I feel like he was kind of like the last best Joe Colton, and that we don't need it, we don't need that again. Like, he's, if we keep anything, let's have that memory of him as G.I. Joe Colton.
Right.
I think, so who, give me some options then for Keaton, because if he is a name that's being thrown about, what do you think he's being utilized for? Because obviously there's got to be a character reason to have him on board. Like, they can't just be like, Michael Keaton's on board. There has to be a character attached to that, doesn't there?
It almost has to be General Hawk. I mean, to a degree. I mean, he's got kind of he can handle that gravitas. You know, from what I've seen of Keaton, you know, his personality isn't necessarily what I would think of when I think of General Hawk. You know, I think he's kind of a slick talker. He comes across as kind of, you know, a marketing guy sort of, you know, I mean, he's not necessarily on the straight and narrow. You know, those are the roles he's played anyway.
Right.
So I'm not sure that jives with General Hawk, but I don't have a problem with that. I think he can make a great General Hawk. I mean, the interesting thing about the whole Michael Keaton casting news is that, you know, my first exposure to sort of movie fans being what they are and comic fans being what they are, was reading some like Starlog magazines from back in the day where Michael Keaton got announced as Batman back in 89, and people were losing their minds.
Yeah.
He's a comedic actor. He's a short guy. He's not Batman. He's not muscular.
I remember being a little bit kind of like, and I was only about seven or eight years old, but I remember being kind of like, oh, interesting. Like that's weird.
Right.
Like I remember vividly thinking, it didn't feel like Batman necessarily. When I saw the trailer, I thought it looked a little bit comedic anyway.
Yeah.
And then obviously it's been the best Batman movie
ever
made.
Yeah, he was fantastic. Yeah, exactly. He owned that role. And I think, the same thing could be true of a General Hawk role. I mean,
are you only saying General Hawk because the Vulture figure can be customized so easily?
I'm thinking, Keaton's an older guy, I mean, I don't think he's necessarily in the age window of being sort of an active military guy.
General
Flag is another possibility. I think if they do Flag, I think they're once again overcomplicating things a little bit. I know Keel Hall has been mentioned as part of that Ever Vigilant universe or whatever. That's a possibility. But really, I think they need to go back to basics. And back to basics to me is General Hawk. I think if he was younger, I know a lot of rumors have been swirling around that Chuckles would be involved. He would be an awesome Chuckles if he was younger. I could kind of see him being that, spycraft kind of undercover guy.
Yeah.
I don't think that works for him in his current, his current demographic. But, I see him as kind of the guy who kind of starts the team.
I wonder if there's if there is any connection at the moment with these current kind of like murmurings of Paramount wanting to reboot the franchise, because I know is it David Elliott's involved, and he was a producer alongside Lorenzo di Bonaventura on the Snake Eyes movie. And obviously they were involved when the Eternity Mask. What the hell is it?
Oh my goodness!
I forget what it's called now. What's the glove called in the Marvel thing? I've completely forgot.
Infinity Gauntlet.
Right. Infinity Mask, I think it was called.
So something like that, yeah.
I wonder if that and the whole Chuckles thing, I wonder if that's all connected at all, or if that's kind of just like a little bit kind of like, well, that's gone, and we're putting that behind us now, and we're going to start fresh from somewhere. Or do you think they're going to...
It could be both. I mean, one of the interesting things that I found about the Rise of Cobra movie is there were scripts floating around in Hollywood for G.I. Joe for years before that movie came out. And there were rumors, and everybody's like, where Duke was Cobra Commander's brother and his name was Rex, and just all this stuff. And it was like, oh, that's terrible. And then you look at Rise of Cobra and you're like, oh, there's a Rex, and Duke is related to, he's engaged to the Baroness, or he's related
close.
To all these people.
It
so there were elements that carried forward into Rise of Cobra. So I get the feeling that even when they get rid of scripts or retool scripts, I think there are elements that can sometimes carry forward. So I wouldn't be surprised if, they do say, well, this is a reboot, we're throwing away Ever Vigilant. Maybe we do see like Chuckles plays a role and Keel Hall plays a role. And there are some of those threads that kind of connect through. I mean, that is possible. Whether they do the whole Infinity Mask thing, I kind of hope not. I want to kind of peel away. I'm okay with sci-fi, I'm okay with some of those elements, but when you start getting into magical artifacts, I'm not sure that really fits in the G.I. Joe mindset these days.
No, but it kind of goes towards more like other movies, and I think that's what happened. I think that's the problem, isn't it? It's like a lot of these executives, they'll see the success other films have, and they'll want to kind of piggyback that. I mean, G.I. Joe has done that for years. You look at the vintage toy line, and it follows those trends. Star Wars, Star Brigade. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Ninja Force. So you have all those things where things were happening and being successful, and G.I. Joe was kind of like dipping into those situations at every moment it could.
Yeah, and it's interesting because G.I. Joe at the beginning was the trendsetter. They set the market, and then other people tried to mirror what they were doing. But then as it transitioned to the 90s, you could see that, like you said, then you had, Captain Planet and the Eco Warriors, different things like that. Kind of, you saw that occurring, for sure. They did the Mega Marines, I think, which I don't know if that was in response to Kurt was again, used to talk about how, they were big into comic book heroes, and they were trying to wrap some of those elements. I know there's a lot of unreleased concepts that came out of that, but, it feels like maybe there were some of that stuff kind of worked its way into the line as well.
But. Was when, hang on, was, when did Terminator 2 toys come out? Because they had that BioFlesh regenerator thing, and that have been something to do with the
it was pretty similar with the Mega Marines Play-Doh stuff. Yeah.
But that Play-Doh stuff had been around for ages, so it's probably...
Yeah, it had.
Yeah. Anyway.
I don't think I ever even... like, as much as I absolutely loved the Mega Marines back in the day, but I don't think I even cracked open that container of Play-Doh. That was just like, forget that.
Yeah, that stays in. One last thing. Do you think a villain could be on the cards for Keaton here? Do you think that would work? Do you think he'd be a good like Cobra Commander or something like that?
He would kick ass as a Cobra Commander, I think. Yeah, I mean, I think that would be that's actually a good commentary. I've kind of been working this out since the news had broke purely with the idea that he was playing a Joe.
Sure.
But if they built that around him as the villain, I think that could be pretty cool. He could be a great... I mean, as I said, he's kind of a slick talker. He's kind of not really a con man, but he's kind of, you know, a little dodgy. You know, he's got that kind of attitude to him that I could really see that being sort of a Cobra Commander sort of personality trait. That could work really, really well, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, this isn't... I mean, we should also say that the news had come out of like an industry insider Twitter, kind of like making a comment based on the fact that Paramount were looking to do this, and Michael Keaton had been attached in some kind of like, or wanted, I should say, kind of. I think that's how it was worded, almost like they want Keaton involved. And obviously, this is all dependent on many, many factors.
Sure.
One of them is actually what Keaton's doing after the whole Flash scenario as well. So there's a lot of things kind of floating around here. We're not sure exactly, but we wanted to talk about the possibilities anyway. And Justin, thank you for joining me and going through that quickly on the show, mate. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely, anytime. Love talking movie stuff.
I know, it's good, isn't it? It's kind of nice to be back a little bit with the movie stuff, because obviously we haven't really done this for a long time. There was one little story that popped up in between now and when Snake Eyes finished, and I don't even remember what it was that we spoke about. Maybe Skydance, maybe? I can't even remember, but anyway. Yeah, here we are. right, hopefully this leads to actually more news coming out around this kind of stuff.
And that's one thing that, and I said this all throughout the Snake Eyes process, no matter how the movie does, the ramp up to the movie and kind of the hype surrounding the movie is always entertaining. I love it. I love talking about it. I love kind of digging into it. Even if the movie doesn't turn out to be very good, I think having it be culturally relevant again is very cool, and it's good to see it. And honestly, for whatever everybody says about Snake Eyes, the way it was released kind of in conjunction with the G.I. Joe Classified line, I'm not going to say Snake Eyes helped the Classified line succeed. I don't think that's necessarily the case, but there was a definite surge in G.I. Joe relevancy as a result of those two things kind of working in concert with each other, and I don't think that's a bad thing.
That was such a fun time, though, as well, the whole lead up and the build up and everything. Yeah,
it was
cool. So again, we'll enjoy that a bit, and then when the movie comes out, we'll be like, this sucks. And
I mean, the movie wasn't great, but we had like 6 months of, you know, awesome time talking about it. So what's you know, 2 hours movie that didn't thrill you, but you still had 6 months of, you know, hype and lead up. That was great. So,
and getting to speak to the actors themselves was
amazing. Those are the sort of things that you can't beat. That experience, regardless of the outcome of the movie, it makes doing this stuff worth it.
Totally. Right then, that brings us to the end of another installment of the Full Force News Burst, or the Full Force Movie News Burst. Thank you to my awesome co-host Justin Bell. See you next time, and as always, one. So I almost didn't count that in. I was just hoping you'd do it. 1, 2, 3. Full Force. See you later. That's it for this installment of the Full Force Movie News Burst. Don't forget to comment, like, and subscribe. See you next time, and as always, Full Force. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos, and as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce, and if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of those platforms with feedback and questions. We also have a Patreon page, so if you want to show your support for the show, see your name up in lights on these videos, or enjoy exclusive bonus content, then check out patreon.com/TheFullForcePodcast, or click on the link on any of the posts this podcast appears in. Full Force.